You have your Bibles this morning. You will want to open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, the paragraph which begins with verse 12. We are not going to read the paragraph today because we've already read it twice, three times in your hearing as we have studied together the message to the church at Pergamos. You will keep in mind the church at Pergamos represents the third period in church history, the period when, as the name indicates, the church settled down in the world and found things easier than ordinary. Yet it was not completely easy because they were living in the city of Babylon where Satan's throne was, and they were willing to stand for their faith even if it meant their lives. In their day, a man by the name of Antipas, a faithful martyr for the cause of Christ, gave his life because he refused to deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he refused to deny the faith. This was highly complimentary, and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ recognized it. But we noticed when we were with you the last time that the Lord Jesus Christ, after complimenting, criticized. For he said to them, "You have some among you who have the doctrine of Balaam, some among you who hold to this damnable doctrine, which is going to eat out the very heart of the church if something is not done about it." We examined what the doctrine of Balaam was, that doctrine which teaches that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must forget its high and its holy calling and settle down in the world, being part of the world, adapting the methods and the habits of the world in order to lay hold of what the world, in order to lay hold of the world, to give them the message that our God would have them have. Now, the doctrine of Balaam that began in Pergamos, you will recall, was recognized as the deeds of Balaam when God delivered his message to the church at Ephesus. This also suggests a normal procedure. What represents deeds will become doctrine if it is not dealt with. What people look upon as simple innovations in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can become part of the settled teaching of the church if something is not done about it. If something had been done about the deeds of Balaam, as was in the church at Ephesus, then there would have been something, no need for emphasis upon the doctrine of Balaam, as was indicated here in the church at Pergamos. Now, you will remember when we read the text, the 14th verse, not only did they have something to do with the doctrine of Balaam, but they had something to do with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, we are familiar with the word Nicolaitans. We met it in the discussion of the church at Ephesus, where people held to the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We told you there was no certain group of people called the Nicolaitans, that the Nicolaitans is a word which comes from two Greek words, Nikao and Laos, which means to conquer the laity. And in the church at Ephesus, there were some folk who believed that there ought to be a distinct difference between what we call the clergy and the laity. The clergy were a special class who could lord it over God's heritage. The clergy were a special class with all their pomp and ceremony who could do what they pleased, and the laity had to follow as simple blind sheep. Well, what was deeds in the days of Ephesus became doctrine in the days of Pergamos. And God said, "I hate this thing. I hate it." Now, at Ephesus, there were people who hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as God hated. But over here in Pergamos, not too far gone, the only person who hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, apparently, was the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sad thing indeed when we keep in mind that God had wonderful ideas of blessing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and instead he had to rebuke because people would rather have the leadership of men than the leadership of God. Just as Israel one day said, "We want to be like other nations. We want a king. We don't want God to be our king. We want a king that we can see and feel and brag and boast about. So the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ reached that period in church history when she did not want to recognize Christ as the head of the church, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. She wanted a local representative, someone to bridge the gap between Christ and the church. And of course, what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ failed to remember is that we do not need any other mediator than the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need some man to stand between us and Christ, and Christ to stand between him and God. All we need is the Savior. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 16 of our paragraph, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." And here we are following the typical outline that is followed in relation to the messages delivered to all of the churches. Compliments, criticisms, warnings. Here is the warning: repent, or I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God said to the church at Pergamos, if you do not change your mind about the doctrine of Balaam, if you don't change your mind about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, then I'm going to have to come against thee in judgment. And did you notice how he's going to come in judgment? He said, I'm going to come with the sword of my mouth. Now here again is a reference to the characteristic taken from the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter. You remember we read in the 12th verse to the angel of the church in Pergamos, right? These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. That sharp sword with two edges, we learned, is the word of the living God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come against thee with the word of God. What did he mean by that? Simply this, that the church at Pergamos was going to have to examine its position in the light of the word of God. Not in the light of the writings of the fathers, not in the light of the pronouncements of the church, but in the light of the word of God. Now many of us take too much stock in what the leaders of the church say, take too much stock in what the particular church in which we are interested may believe. Beloved, there is only one word of authority, and that's the word of God. Doesn't matter in which church we may find ourselves, does not matter what name it may bear on the outside, it is the word of the living God that is the final norm on which we must make all of our decisions. And I say this kindly today, but I say it forcefully. If your church makes any decision that is contrary to the word of God, then your church is wrong. The word of the living God is true. And loyalty must not be to a church organization. Loyalty must not be to the leadership of a church. Loyalty must be to the word of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ closes the message to the church at Pergamos in the same way that he closes the message to all the churches, with a special appeal to the individual. In verse 17 we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Here is the appeal to the man who has the spiritual ear. Here is the appeal to the man who is the overcomer, the real born-again believer within the church, because that is who an overcomer is. Now he said, if you will overcome these tendencies toward liberalism within the church, I have a special reward for you. If you are not engulfed in them, if you are not swallowed up in them, then I have a special reward for you. What is it? Hidden manna. You see, when individuals begin to take their stand against the organized church, sometimes they are excommunicated. Sometimes they are cut off from the source of spiritual food. But God said, I will be to you hidden manna. I will make it possible for you to find spiritual sustenance that men will not be able to understand. You will have food to eat of which ordinary people will not know. And then he said, I'll give you a white stone with a new name written on it. A white stone was a figurative symbol of approval. Men may not approve you, said the Lord Jesus Christ, if you take your stand on the word of the living God against all ecclesiastical authority. But I will approve you. And not only will I approve you, I will have a special relationship to you, because on that stone will be written a new name, which nobody will know except the man who receives the stone. This all speaks of a very intimate personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it has been down through church history. Men have dared to take their stand against organized Christianity. Men have dared to take their stand against ecclesiastical authority. In time, they have been excommunicated, they have been rebuffed, they have been disciplined, and they have had, in some instances, nowhere to turn, and yet they had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that was second to none. We encourage you today to take your stand for Christ on the authority of the Word of God, no matter what sacrifice you might have to make. And as you take that stand, know that you do not stand alone. Know that our God stands with you, and you are in special relationship to Him.